702 Afternoons with Relebogile Mabotja. Live streaming countrywide on the Prime Media Plus app. DStv Channel 856, 92.7, and 106 FM.
We're doing things a little bit differently today. I've never been in a position of having to change my surname to my father's. I must be honest, I went through a period in my life growing up where I was like, do I have a dream father out there? He's like really rich and he's been looking for me for years. But no, I'm still a Mabotja and have been so quite often. But I thought, why not invite somebody who actually is going through this process in his real life? From a brother from a sister station / industry peer, former co-hosts with one another. We know you as Mo Flavor, DJ Mo Flavor, but Mwedi X Tsiki, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon to the 702 listener and Mabotja. I'm the only one who can change your name.
Yes, to Mabotja. And you're the only one who calls me Mabotja.
And I'm not doing it to butcher your surname, Mabotja. And I'm not trying to do that. It's just Mabotja. It's an affectionate way of showing how much I appreciate you.
So we had a chat a week or so ago, and I thought this is such perfect timing and perfect content for what we do. So it so made sense that we'd have this conversation where we look at certain processes. Now, in the time I've known you, you've been Mwedi Tsiki.
Yeah.
Jiggy jiggy, how? Take us back to the beginning.
I think first and foremost, thanks for creating a platform for me to talk about this, because this is actually the first time that I speak about this on a public platform.
Yeah.
And I think for many reasons, it's quite profound, because on one level, I am a citizen and I'm a person who has his own identity. And then on the other hand, I've got this public, profile. And so it's, everything is intertwined. Tsiki is my mother's maiden surname. So that is my mother's side of the family that she was born into, the family that she grew up in, and in turn, the family that I grew up in. And I was born into the Tsiki family.
And it, so you always knew
This
is the surname that is your mother's side.
Sure.
So you are how old today?
I'm 30 what?
30, Kora 240.
I must put it the way a Sotho person would put it, 30-something.
30-something. And the reason I ask this is because you became an adult at some point. I know biologically it's 18. Maturely it's, 20-something.
It never happens.
Yes. But the reason I ask this is, if you've gone 30-something years, knowing Tsiki is mother's surname, knowing all of those details, was there ever something in you that felt like, I wish I had my paternal surname?
I think it's when I was a child, there was always a lingering feeling of that there's somebody else that's supposed to be around, but I'm not quite sure at what level and who this person is. My mom got married when she was in her mid-20s to a phenomenal man by the name of Teboho Mahonko, and he has always been my father. My mother got married into the Mahonko family, and my dad has always been an incredible person in my life. So there was never a sense that I had anything missing in the practical sense. Growing up in the Tsiki family, raised by really amazing men and women who really did a stellar job in giving me everything that I needed. So there was never a feeling of, I'm missing something in my life, but there was always a lingering question. And as I grew older, I got to understand that in actual fact, I do have a biological father that hasn't been in my life for many, many years, where I had no image of him, no memory whatsoever.
Before you even go forward, I'm just, how stars align so perfectly. We've been having conversations about relationships between step-parents and step-children. And I love that you're giving props to the man who raised you, because it doesn't happen often enough. And I wondered if it ever was a question when mama got married, if she did change her surname, was it ever a question of, guys, do you want to change your surnames as well? Or even Ntate Monkung saying, I want you to all feel like my children, and I would like to formally adopt you and welcome you into my clan. Yeah. Was that ever a thing? Because shout out to all the fathers that step up and step into those roles.
Sure. It's actually a very important question you ask, but the answer is quite complex because the matter is complex. Because depending on your frame of reference and, you know, how you choose to, you know, I suppose connect with culture and see it too. I was born into the Tsiki family and therefore I'm a child within that family because my mother wasn't married to my biological father. So there were discussions around that on, you know, my father's side, the man that raised me together with my mom and my grandparents, for instance. I'm not quite sure how those conversations went.
Yeah.
But it's not something that is as easy as it sounds to say, okay, no, it's fine. I'm going to marry you as Relebogile. And however many children you have, ke hapale namani, as they say in Sesotho, and therefore that's that. There's discussions. There's
because there are cultural implications, absolutely, is what we're saying.
And there is a particular lean of importance, and I hope I'm saying this in the most correct way possible, towards the male child, particularly and because you carry
the name.
The name.
Yes, and I think it's important, hence I kept insisting on saying father. And the paternal side, it's so important that we, you know, for those that aren't part of the African culture, I mean, we're speaking, our point of reference is an African reference. And please feel free when you join in the conversation to bring in your views, be it Islamic, be it whatever it is you believe in. But it isn't that simple. And because culturally, if I'm going to summarize it, you cannot just take on a name without following certain processes where your ancestor, the ancestors of that name recognize you. So an easy example is when a woman gets married and her surname is going to change, there are cultural processes. She now belongs, in inverted commas, not as an object, but she is of that family. That now becomes her home, and hence certain, you know, processes get take place to the point that even if she's widowed and she needs to remarry, there are processes that need to happen because you now belong to this new family you've been gone into. So outside of you being a child in the home, even if you're 30-something and conversations happening where things didn't happen for whatever reason, did you have contact with your biological father's family at all, or was it no one at all? Because I think that also plays a role where you have kids who are walking with their mother's surnames, the father's not in the picture for whatever reason, but they are connected with paternal grandparents.
Fascinating, because I think I was 13 and I just finished my primary school, and I grew up in Dube, Soweto. So there I am, sent to the shops, as grandmothers always do. And when I came back from the shops, I realized that there was a car that was parked outside the yard at home. And something in me just shook. Right. And as I walked into the house, I realized that there was a man sitting in the kitchen. And it turned out that that was my biological father.
When you say turns out, because there's something that we see in movies, and I don't know if it happens like this in real life, where you see someone that is a complete stranger, but you know, it's like you're looking at yourself. Did that moment happen?
That's it. And I think the feeling that I had when I saw his car that I had never seen in my life kind of summarizes that which you talk about. And when I walked into the room, there was just that immediate sense where I was almost asking to confirm, where he was almost introducing himself to as though he's preaching to the converted that I should know who he is. And mind you, it's probably over 10 years since last, you know, I interacted with him. So there was no way I would have had a vivid memory of him. And it was a very overwhelming experience, because outside of being a teenager, going through your own things, going through that transition, and then having to absorb the fact that you now have this father that is now in your life, reintroducing himself in that fashion. And I remember crying buckets when he left. Just the feeling of being overwhelmed and being confused, and also trying to understand exactly how I'm feeling when I was that young. Yeah.
And I'm glad you are saying that, because it's something I'm sure a person can never articulate. I think we know now, because we speak so openly about our feelings, we have words for them, is that the first thing I'm thinking is, I would have a, like, where you been? Like, that's the first, yo, where have you been? You know, yeah, right? Yeah, but yeah. Also, I think even deeper than that is, why was I not enough for you to be here? Mm. And then even deeper than that, do you realize my ID has been walking around figuratively and and literally,
yeah,
my copy was walking around not being with me. You're supposed to show me, like, yo, is that how it feels like? Because I would imagine that that's how it feels like.
Of course, I had many questions, lots of questions, and I had heard his name before. Growing up, but I didn't know who they were referring to. And so it was kind of like that sort of reality for me, where I had to now almost give myself homework to figure out why he hadn't been in my life. Of course, the first point of reference is your mom, your family, which of course I had those conversations. And, the sense was that he just wasn't around. And he had his own challenges and his own issues. Mm. And even when I had the conversation with him, he would say in Susutu, "Hune hule tada,"
meaning it was tough.
It was tough. Now, the problem with you know, and I'm speaking in general to Basutu, is that sometimes we say things and we sound very loose and vague, but there's a lot of depth in that. And when I say to you it was tough, for some it's not good enough, and perhaps it wasn't good enough as a reason for me at the time, but that was the reason. And so,
know now, with what we understand, it could be a range of things. It could be mental health. It could be fight. It could be a million and one things. So we're not, you know, casting aspersions and judgment on a situation we don't know the details of
yet.
And you being a father now probably gives you such a broader picture. I mean, I regularly am like, yo, mama, I'm sorry. This is hard. You guys really tried your best. You know, and I'm sure you feel that as well.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting you raise that, because it speaks to how you feel about the fact that this man hasn't been in your life your entire life until whatever point he decides to show up or you decide to reconnect. And there was no point where I hated him. I had more questions than any other sort of sense of things to say, okay, but why? But why? And I think one of the reasons why I never hated him is because I had what I feel was a very solid base from a family point of view. You know, our families are so intertwined that I was just, you know, surrounded by love. Where I never felt a sense of emptiness to say, ish, but, you know, I wish my father was around. Because there are people who have to go through that, unfortunately. So in my case, it wasn't that. But it was really about understanding. And what is crazy now is that I'm still piecing all the answers together.
So let's fast forward to, you know, where is the relationship, let's say 6 months ago, that you even started considering changing your name? Because I don't know how many young men just decide to change their names because their father was there in the kitchen and left. You know what I mean? It becomes a very intentional decision because it's so connected to identity, and there's a Tziki family to take into consideration.
Oh yeah, and it becomes a massive factor. We had a bit of an on and off, and by on and off I mean, you know, we'd spend time seeing each other and then we'd go long periods without seeing each other. And in my mind, growing up as a youngster, from a teenager into a young adult, it was really just about trying to understand, how do I manage this relationship between this man that is my father that I'm supposed to have a relationship with, but I'm fine, you know? In 2011, he passed away, right?
And may his soul rest in peace.
And he passes away at a point where we hadn't been talking for a while, for no particular reason other than just we are not talking. I think it's the question of, how do you build a relationship with a child? How do you build a relationship with your father?
I think it's also that thing of awamukwayela. You, what's the English word? When you are not, very, when you're not used to a person in your life. So if a child grows up with somebody that they know like that, they become almost an everyday part of their life. So because he wasn't that in your life, you had a dad, you had dad, this one, your father. So it's not like it was a fight or a beef. It's just not, the relationship was not yet at a level where you were so intertwined in each other's lives.
Yeah, yeah. And there are many things that also contribute to that, because when you're young, you're starting a career, you know, after studying. So you're consumed by your own drive and your own, you know, development. And then you understand the importance of family, but then you're asking yourself, well, you know, how do I then invest in this relationship? I'm happy that my mother, Sikhametsi, never said, do not go see your father. Nobody in my family said, you are forbidden. Everybody supported whatever it is, including the man that raised me, Debua. He never said, no, you're not allowed to go there. So it all just really rested on me. And so when I went to his funeral, it was a very, very surreal experience, because how do you, you know, mourn or feel in that moment for somebody you don't know that well? And if you are going to be going through that, what is that feeling? Is it the thought of, you know, now we'll never be able to really get to know each other because we've lost so many years? I went to the funeral and,
I think what it is the loss of what could have been and the dream of whatever that relationship could have been when you were a child. Not to say, like you said and reiterated, you never felt empty, but it's often when a person's gone where you suddenly have to face all of the emotions, including the anger, including the unanswered questions, including the, we could have been having ice cream or sharing a beer together. Or, you know, you could have been coming to see me win an award, or you could have seen me.
And the crazy thing about that is that there's so many other things that point out to the similarities. I mean, at some stage, apparently he was a DJ, Kokasi.
What?
In Mofolo and
lie.
Around Soweto. Clearly he didn't go as far as I did.
But isn't that so great to know?
Yeah, absolutely. And then he was dragged into the army. I think he was kicking and screaming, from what I hear. And I have a huge interest in military, just in terms of fascinated by that area of things. And it's been like that for many years. So some things are quite funny when you look at them and you kind of say, well, that explains this and that and the other. But what is even more profound is the fact that his mother, my grandmother, who's also late, was one of the first black female broadcasters at Radio Bantu at the SABC.
What?
When you had to know Afrikaans as a prerequisite before you could even land a job to speak Sesotho.
You know what I love? Like, I'm getting goosebumps with you telling me this, because the pieces of the puzzle suddenly make sense and come together. There is a beauty in knowing that you have DNA similarities with a person, and that life, like, it's so, so beautiful. So what I want to do, we're going to go to the news. When we come back, we're going to chat about when you decided to actually go through the process, what it was for you. I see a couple of you who are calling. I see your voice notes and messages. And then later on, we'll bring in a guest expert on this. And I want to say, I know this is a very, very sensitive conversation. For those of you that are listening, are yearning for biological fathers to even find out what your surname is, we are thinking of you. Feel free to call, send your voice notes, 072-702-1702.
Spend your afternoon
with Relebogile Mabotja
on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
25 minutes to 2 o'clock. If you're just joining us, I'm sitting with my brother from our sister station, 947 Mo Flavor, as to chat to us, as he chats to us about his journey of culturally going through the process of changing his surname to his paternal surname. And he's been sharing the journey of his biological father coming into his life, and that he passed on in 2011, and where he is right now. And the story is about to chat to us about the next steps of deciding and choosing to go through the process of changing one's surname and what that means culturally. We'll be joined a bit later on by a historian and founder of Docipedia, Mogaile Mogashwa, who will chat to us about the certain cultural processes that are required for changing your surname to your father's. And we're specifically speaking of the paternal side. So if you've gone through this journey, this experience, give us a call. 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. So Mwedi, after your father passes on and you find out, you know, this beautiful information that sort of connects the dots and the pieces to who you are and your identity, the fabric, your DNA, the blueprint of what makes you a person. What brings you to a decision to say, I want to take this to the next level? Because some also might be thinking, why would you want to do it if your dad is gone?
Sure. So I think first and foremost, the idea from a cultural and spiritual point of view is that in life, when you walk, you have to walk with balance. And what that means, and this is purely my interpretation, all right? So people are welcome to debate it. You have to walk with both sides of your identity, your mother's side and your father's side. And I'm talking culturally, spiritually, kasetu. And so I found it very important to, as much as my life is complete in the material sense, in the practical sense, but it was important for me to be balanced, to align spiritually and culturally with my father's side of the family, as much as I am aligned spiritually and culturally with my mother's side. And understanding the depth of the importance of being spiritually aligned is really what drove this decision. So my decision to fall under the family Yaha Matloto, or Matlutlu, depending on how you want to pronounce it, and we'll get into that, what was purely that. There are many other factors when you talk about identity, when you talk about family, you know, legacy, when you talk about, you know, who disalilaba, to grow your paternal side of the family. Those are all things that also fall in that. But I think the depth of it was the spiritual aspect of being balanced when you walk through life.
So can I ask a question? Because I know if now, let's say I was your wife to be, but I've always known that this is not your, in inverted commas, actual surname. Now we're getting ready to change surnames. I'll be like, hey, brother. You know, I don't want to do this again. Did that kind of conversation ever come up? Because, I mean, you have children that you have to put a surname on their birth certificate.
Sure.
And I'm curious as to the thought process, but also the implications thereof.
Sure. So I'm glad you brought that up, because all of this happens when I'm already married. And my wife has been phenomenal in supporting me through this process. Even after having been married into the Tziki family and being given a name, Mapuka, which is a very powerful name, you know, on many levels, because the Tziki family kibafukeng, you know, and then having to go through this process again of, because I want to realign, her having to support me, and she did it wholeheartedly. She was great counsel, and I think.
Did you pay lobola again, Wena?
No, I didn't.
As Michael, I need to call your wife.
I think Mabutele is listening, so we don't.
You must pay her, because they can say we don't know Mwedi Makoku.
Yeah, but it's a very interesting question that you raise about, you know, double lobola and things like, because those are all things that come into play. The questions. I mean, in my case, what would happen culturally is that you are then brought into the family. So kasusutu ba amuhela.
Yes.
Into the family ya hamatlotlo, matlotlo. And that requires a certain ritual that involves sheep. So you'll have your own sheep that they involve in the process, and then she had to have her own sheep as well. So in essence, what I'm trying to say is, not only was I brought into the family, but she was brought into the family too, because she's already my wife. So when I come into this Matlotlo family, I'm not coming in alone. I've got, you know, an entire family. And the children, and so it goes. And so this process didn't just affect me, it affected her and the kids, but she's been phenomenal.
All right, I want to take a pause on what is really such a beautiful story. And I think what you said about, you know, walking with balance. You are now firmly grounded. Opening the lines on 011-883-0702 to everyone who's been waiting so patiently. Sandra in Roodepoort, go ahead. Opening the lines on 011-883-0702 to everyone who's been waiting so patiently. Sandra in Roodepoort, go ahead.
I will always have that innate wanting to know who he is and to name him officially.
So what if...
it's something that you always want to do regardless. You know, it's just part of...
Yes.
Human condition. You know, you need to know this because everybody needs to know this. When I met him, I actually met him once, and he declared his name. You know, he said his name with so much of pride, and people need to know who they are. They need to know what their surnames would have been, who their families are, where they came from.
I'm so sorry. Your network is not great, Sandra, and we'll see if we are able to stay in touch with you. But what I want to leave you with is the following: if the DNA test comes back and it proves it true, there's still the possibility of him and his family denying you. And for me, it sounds like you are absolutely tortured and racked with emotions that need to be tended to. Hence, I was asking, who do you want the test for? So I don't know if it means you talking to someone so you can settle your feelings in case something happens to him, or in case you do get the test results, but you're still sitting in a position where people are not willing to acknowledge you and recognize you. And I hope I've touched on that in a way that's fair. You need to be at peace, whatever happens, even if this family says, we don't recognize you, you're not our child, we don't see you as anything. But we'll see if we can stay in touch with Sandra. Tandi from Joburg, hi, go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks, and you?
Good, thanks. The reason for my call is that I just want to let you know what happened in my life, both traditionally and legally. I grew up knowing my dad, and he was not married to my mother. So I grew up then using my mother's surname until it was time for me to get married. And then the family said that I can't go into somebody's home and be using the incorrect surname, like my mother's surname. And also my mother didn't know where her parents were from, you know, like where her dad was coming from. So we couldn't connect with my mother's side of the family, but I had a connection with my dad's side of the family. So it made sense for all of us that I changed into my dad's surname. But for that to happen, my dad's family had to pay like a cow, like damages. And because my dad was then late, so my stepbrothers did that for me. So that I can change the surname. And I was born at home, like at my dad's homestead. I didn't go to the hospital or anything. So I also had this strong connection with the side of my dad's family. You know, I always wanted to go there. I wanted to visit. I wanted to see them. So that's what happened then. I married using my dad's surname because it was changed traditionally. So like I was getting married, then if like my dad's surname was Ndlovu, then I would be Mandlovu. And for me, it didn't make sense to be like called Makhumalo.
Tandi, just turn off your radio on that side because we're getting some feedback. Okay. Yes, but I think we've got the gist of what you're sharing. And my question is, how do you feel now that you've gone through that entire process?
I feel so connected. I feel at peace. And also I've changed my legal documents to my dad's surname after getting divorced. Then I went back to my dad's surname, and I feel like at peace. Like I'm really at the right surname now.
And thank you so much for sharing that. I think that that probably summarizes for you what the whole purpose of going on the journey was all about.
Sure. And I think the other thing, of course, and she talks about names, is that when you're born into a family, you're given a name that has been passed down. The same thing had to happen to me. and my wife. Mm. So you calling me Mueti, what?
It's last week, yeah. A few weeks ago.
Sure. So my new name is Matabi. Mm. And loosely translated, it's a feeling of joy, a sense of joy in Sesotho. Context is everything, but that's the essence of the name Matabi. And it's a name that's been passed down through many generations. Mm. You know, so when I talk about spiritual and sort of alignment, it's very important. And from a cultural point of view, it's very important because she speaks about marrying from the wrong family, et cetera. Alignment is key because it almost dictates everything you do going forward. A lot of people would say, yeah, people only do the stuff when things are going wrong in life, etc.
But things are going wrong in life because you didn't do the stuff.
True.
Also.
And sometimes it's not even that. For me, it was never about things are not going wrong, for starters, right? It was the moment where I finally decided that this is a step that I had to take, that I have to align with the Matlotlo family. And that is something that I need to do. It actually became more than about my father. It became more than about my biological father. It was no longer about him. Because a surname is not about one person. It's about an entire group, an entire clan, an entire family, an entire history of people. And so understanding that importance for me is what compelled me to take this decision and take this journey.
And also you are aligning your inheritance of legacy, which is huge, because once you start doing the homework to find out who are those that walked before you that now walk behind you and beside you, you are inheriting way more than we even know. That's an ongoing life journey. We've still got more people calling. Elizabeth in Ekurhuleni, go ahead.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, thanks, and you?
Well, thank you. Just a quick note or a quick take from my side. Muslim women normally retain their father's surname. So when you are born, your mom, whoever it is that needs to register you, cannot not register you unless there's bitter feelings, whatever the case may be. So you would be called by your father's name no matter what. Unless you were adopted. I think adoption is maybe different, but you are meant to retain your father's surname. Whether you're a girl, whether you're a boy, you need to retain your father's surname. Reasoning behind it, on the day of reckoning or the day of judgment, you'll be called by your father's surname. So I always say, what happens if you have a different surname and here they're busy calling you? How are you going to be holding up that queue? Because you're waiting for your surname and they're calling some, you know, the married surname or another surname that you've changed it to. So in terms of that, it's your identity, it's your clan. And usually for females, they refer you as Bint, which would be a daughter of, and Bin would be son of, in the Arabic terminology. So, for example, you'd be so-and-so Bint and your surname Adam, for example. So that means you are the daughter of Adam. And if you Bin, you'd be son of Adam. And normally, it's not surname specific, it's normally name specific. So it would be Bin Adam, if your father's Adam, you'd be daughter of Adam, and your father would be Bin Muhammad, son of Muhammad. And that's how you would pick up your grandfather, great-grandfather, and your genealogy going up. It's not necessarily surname-wise. Surname is normally just, I don't know whether it's a Western culture. And Arabic culture would be, you would be Bin Adam, Bin Muhammad,
thank you for bringing that into the picture, because, you know, these things are still connected. You know, we think we're very different, but we're actually very similar. Some can go and look around and find that people have same name, same surname, because there are ways that names are also carry weight. And my understanding is that for us as Africans, surname shows you the clan you belong to, hence surname is important. However, if you look back at the apartheid history, people changed surnames so that they could get by and survive. And then their names actually became their original surname so that they could still retain their clan names. So now some people are inheriting names because the surnames are, in inverted commas, apartheid error surname. So thank you, Elizabeth, for sharing. Dr. Smile, go ahead.
Hi, Relebohila, how are you?
Good, thanks, and you?
Good, more flavor, hello.
What up, Dr. Smile?
Guys, so quick comment, not specifically on step-parents, but over the last few months, almost about a year, I've been in the process of changing my surname to include my wife's surname after marriage.
Wow. Why did you decide to do that?
Look, especially as a Baha'i, the equality of men and women is super important for us. And this is one way, at least in a worldly way, and as an example to our children to understand that mom and dad in future, we don't have children yet, but hold equal weight. This is something obviously very superficial, but the depth of it is that if I think about why does the son continue the dad's surname or the family surname? Why not the daughter? Why was it chosen like that in the past? I think a lot of these things are from very misogynistic ideas, and I guess to start the dialogue and changing the norm, we went to this process of me also incorporating her surname. And it's interesting because legally, she automatically takes my surname. But should I want to do it, I had to jump through so many hoops. There's about 12 separate forms.
What?
I had to make new birth certificates. It's crazy what I had to go through. And the first time I went to Home Affairs, they said, no, they cannot do it. The husband doesn't ever change his surname. I was like, guys, just give me the form.
We are so, listen, we're going to keep your number so that we can actually have a conversation around this, because I think what you're touching on is powerful. We know, I think Zoe Saldana's husband took on her surname. There are tribes that we know are more matriarchal than they are patriarchal. But because we've got very little time left with you, Moeti, what are the major and I promise all of you, we will revisit this topic. We'll bring in the expert. All of your questions, we're going to keep them. What are the major cultural steps you had to go through for this to become formalized? And I love that, you know, wife is involved, the kids are involved. They all understand the significance of this.
Sure. I mean, of course, you know, after many discussions that were had between the Matlotlos and the Tsikis, and obviously based on history and, you know, my mom with my biological father, etc., unresolved issues, you know, damage having to be sorted out, etc.
Yes.
So all of that had to be done. And then we get into this issue of Moeti coming into the family, the Matlotlo family. So which obviously involved this ritual that took place 2 weekends ago, where it involved, like I said, a process where there was a sheep that was brought, and for myself and my wife and obviously the kids, and we were given names and also explained who we are from a clan perspective. You know, there's many different clans, Alaba Fukeng, Hunalba Taung Bakwen, etc. Runarba Tebele. Yes. So now moving from being called Puka, you know, to being called Litebele. Muswazi, you know, because of history. That's kind of the entire sort of process. Now, because my father passed away, there was another very important ritual that had to be performed on Sunday, the following day. And in Susutu, we call it Hutlusa Hutsana, which basically, Hutsana means, you know, being an orphan, loosely in Sotho language. But
So as in to remove you being an orphan, now you are not an orphan.
Yes. And the cloud of death by virtue of losing a parent.
Yes.
It's a ritual that is widely performed in many ethnic groups culturally in Southern Africa. And so I had to do that process. And that process involved, again, an animal. It involved shaving my hair, my eyebrows, my beard, all in the name of, you know, removing that cloud that I didn't get to do when my father passed away. And this is something that I can't do myself.
Yes.
Those in the Matlotlo family had to do it for me. And again, these are things culturally that I believe had to be done in order for you to have your story straight, to be well aligned. And, you know, I sit here feeling very happy that I took the step. You spoke about history. It's beautiful what you discover about where you're from. My ancestor is from Eswatini.
Right. And knowing that changes decisions you make going forward in life.
Yes, absolutely. Because my ancestors from Eswatini, he finds himself in Lesotho back in those days, right?
Yeah.
And then he arrives in Lesotho as Madludlu, and all of a sudden it's Matutlu. And he stays in Lesotho, he marries three wives, and he starts an entire family. Mm. And hundreds of years later, we sit here. And hence, I keep interchanging between Matlotlo and Matlotlo. Mm. It's really because of that. But it's all these things that you learn around who you are and your history. And it's a journey ahead. And it's more than just about my biological father. And having to learn about him through other people in itself is quite a fascinating experience as well.
Matabi Matlotlo.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story with us here first, because now you've opened bigger conversations. So there'll be a part two, a part three. We'll bring our expert in. To all of you asking now about changing surnames at Home Affairs, get part two, that part. Because
that's also part two,
yes,
for me.
So this was the cultural part of the conversation. The legal one will be another time. All of your questions, we'll bring them in our Belief Matters feature next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for the platform.